Hey there, guys and gals, all you Hepcats, cool kittens, my friends and foes. Welcome to the brand new returning Jedi Avenger podcast. I am your host, the artist also known as Big Daddy Cool, the Bamboozlist, John Pica. And on today's episode, we're going to be talking about some Star Wars theories, some MCU theories, and news about the new Disney streaming service. But before we do that, we've got to acknowledge our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box. They deliver a magic shop to your mailbox every month. It's worth about $60 to $80 worth of magic for $25 plus $5 for shipping. It's $30, but you can take 50% off your first month by using my promo code BDCMagic at checkout, and you'll get your first box for $15. It comes with magic every month. I'm a professional magician, and I love it. I find something new every month, and I find something that might have gotten put in a junk drawer years ago, and I'm reacquainted with it. I love it. It's one of my favorite things every month to look forward to. Check it out for yourself at magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic. That's BDCMagic, like Big Daddy Cool. Magic. All right, guys and gals, let's talk Star Wars Episode 9 theories. So, I'm listening to the Rebel Force Radio podcast, which is by and far the best podcast on the internet. And really, the guys that I look to for inspiration, and quite honestly, I copy them. They're great. Jason Swank is one of my oldest friends, and he is for sure my oldest Star Wars friend. Growing up, we used to talk Star Wars for hours and hours and hours. We even started designing our own Star Wars trivia game before they did a Trivial Pursuit edition. We did crazy stuff with Star Wars, but I was listening to their show for last Friday, the 22nd, and Jason wasn't on it. It was just Jimmy Mack and his brother. I can't remember. I'm sorry. I can't remember your brother's name. Bobby Mack, maybe? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It does matter. I apologize. I can't remember your brother's name, Jimmy. But here's the important thing. You guys were talking about Episode 9 theories. And quite honestly, I tend to ignore theories. I don't really seek out what people are thinking or theorizing. But I was listening to your show, and I know there are a lot of theories about Rey and who her parents are. And it occurs to me that in Episode 8, when Kylo Ren says, "Your parents were nobody," that maybe he's not talking figuratively. Maybe he is actually telling the truth and talking literally. And so I had to think about this for a minute. You know, the new prequels is about the Skywalker line. And, well, the whole saga is, from Phantom Menace to Episode 9, whatever it will be titled, is about the Skywalker saga. And it's been assumed that Rey must be a Skywalker or must be part of some kind of royal force lineage. And when Kylo Ren said, "Your parents were nobody," that kind of threw water on that theory, those fan theories. You know, is she Luke Skywalker's daughter? Is she Mara Jade's daughter, who we've not seen in the canon yet? Is she from some other royal line? And it started me thinking about the Skywalker line. We have assumed for years that the Skywalker line starts with Smee Skywalker, passes through Anakin, Luke, and Leia. But what about Smee's family? And I'm not talking about the Lars family that she is sold into. I'm talking about her immediate family. Brothers, sisters, aunts, uncles, parents, herself. And it got me to thinking, you know, we've assumed through context clues that Anakin was brought forth through a vergence in the Force, created by the midichlorians. But Palpatine suggested in Revenge of the Sith that he was actually instrumental in manipulating those midichlorians to create life, to create Anakin, and in a way is Anakin's spiritual father. And it started me thinking, what if Smee had other sisters? And what if she wasn't the only one? Either not the only one to catch Palpatine's eye for experimentation, or maybe he had nothing to do with it at all. Maybe the Skywalker sisters were Force-sensitive witches, like the witches of Dathomir. Maybe they manipulated the midichlorians to bring about the vergence in the Force. This is not anything I've heard anyone talk about and suppose. But what it would do, it would set up Rey to be the bookend to Anakin. Let's assume for a minute that she is part of another branch of the Skywalker tree. Because we've been looking at the Skywalker family as a line. But that's not how families are. Families have branches. And so let's assume that Skywalker tree starts not with Smee, but before Smee. And let's assume that there are other sisters or brothers or whatnot, and they had children. And I want to say that Rey was brought forth through a vergence of the Force, just like Anakin. And there are context clues that indicate that this might be true in The Force Awakens. Because J.J. Abrams was very meticulous. He was very specific about shooting Rey almost shot for shot in some of the same poses, kind of settings, with the same lighting as when we meet Anakin in The Phantom Menace. That was done on purpose. And I think that it is a clue that she is part of the Skywalker lineage, just not through Smee. Maybe she's not immaculately conceived by the midichlorians like Anakin was. But I go back to that statement from Kylo Ren. Your parents were nobody. Maybe she didn't have two parents. Maybe she only had the one mother. It's worth thinking about. And, you know, those context clues that I mentioned that JJ dropped in the filming, I mean, even down to some of the wardrobe costuming, it's almost identical to what Anakin wore when we met him. And when we meet Rey on Jakku, again, a desert planet, she's a scrapper, a scrounger. Her outfit, her costume is very much along the same lines as Anakin when we meet him. I think there's something there, guys. I think she is a Skywalker, and I think she is the one to bring balance to the Force. So, what do I mean by that? Well, so everyone assumed Anakin was the prophesied one to bring balance to the Force until he turned to the dark side, and then Obi-Wan was like, you were supposed to, you know, you were supposed to restore the Force, not destroy it. You were supposed to bring balance to the Force, not destroy it. Well, my buddy Jason and I, Jason Swank and I, have always maintained that the Force was actually out of balance because there was no dark side prevalent. And balance actually meant that there would be dark side and the destruction of the Jedi Order to bring balance to the Force. And in that way, Anakin fulfilled that prophecy. Well, now we have kind of the opposite going on. Kylo Ren, Snoke, the Knights of Ren, wherever they are, the dark side of the Force is the dominant aspect of the Force. And here comes Rey, this uber powerful, uber adept Force user, Jedi, and she instantly balances Kylo Ren's dark side powers. So maybe she's the balance of the Force. And by the way, that's a rumor for the title of Episode 9. And if it is, I think we've got our clues. That's my theory about Rey. I would love for her to have been the child of Luke Skywalker and Mara Jade, put into hiding after Kylo Ren destroyed the Jedi Temple and the Academy. I just don't think that's going to pan out. A lot of people think that, you know, she's the forgotten child of Leia and Han, and I don't buy that either. I just don't buy that, you know, either Leia erased everyone's memory of her or Kylo Ren did, and then she got hit. I don't buy that. It just doesn't feel right to me. It feels right that she is part of the Skywalker lineage, part of the Skywalker family tree, but we've assumed that Smee Skywalker is the first Skywalker. And I don't think that's true. I can't believe that that is true. So there you have it. I would love to hear your thoughts about Rey and her place in the Skywalker family. So the other thing that they were talking about on Rebel Force Radio, and I don't mean to just go promoting Rebel Force Radio, but go listen to it because it's a great show. But they were talking about the new Disney Plus streaming service. And you guys know that Disney is creating their own streaming service. It's about ready to launch. And they're leaving Netflix. And that's caused all kinds of turmoil. We'll talk about that in a minute. But all new original programming, all new programming from Disney, Lucasfilm, Marvel, Jim Henson Studios, Pixar, etc., will be available exclusively on the new Disney streaming service. And I'm not a huge fan of these a la carte streaming services, but considering that Disney does control 60% of the content that is being produced on TV and in movies, they also own, by the way, 60% of Hulu, if you didn't know that. And so, and they own ESPN, but that's neither here nor there. Normally, I'm not a fan of these a la carte services, but Disney is big enough that I will probably go in to get the original content. We know that they're already producing the show The Mandalorian. We don't know very many details about that. I have a feeling that Boba Fett is going to factor into that in a pretty big way. I really hope that they touch on everything that was done with Clone Wars and Rebels, Sabine Wren and, the different clans of Mandalore. That would be really great. And I think because Jon Favreau is a fan first, that he may give us that fan service. But, you know, there was questions, the guys on the Rebel Force Radio asked, well, what do you want to see? What kind of content do you want to see on the Disney streaming service for Star Wars. And, you know, they said, do we want Kenobi? I know they're working on a Cassian series. I don't really think anyone wants to see a Cassian series. That's just me. If you do, you know, okay, great. But I don't think it's a series anyone needs or wants. But the one concept that nobody's talking about, and it's a natural, it's like a no-brainer for this new streaming service, is The Adventures of Luke Skywalker, starring Sebastian Stan. And these would be adventures that take place after Return of the Jedi and sometime before A Force Awakens. There's, what, 20 years to mine there? And if you've not seen the pictures of Sebastian Stan next to pictures of Mark Hamill, it's uncanny. And Sebastian Stan is under contract with Marvel and Disney for, you know, another 4 or 5 films. And I think it's not beyond the realm of possibility that you can bring him over to Lucasfilm for the Disney Plus streaming service and do an Adventures of Luke Skywalker. And that would be, listen, that would be a home run. Disney, if you're listening to this, that would be a home run. Get Sebastian Stan, have him play Luke Skywalker, the further adventures of Luke Skywalker, and you could recanonize a bunch of those EU stories, but do it in a way that suits the current series. And I'm talking about Heir to the Empire, Dark Force Rising, and Last Command. There's a lot of material in there that you could use to reintroduce characters and concepts. We've already had the Naugri reintroduced in Rebels. We had the Yi Salamari reintroduced, I believe, in Rebels. Maybe I'm remembering that incorrectly, but Thrawn was reintroduced. I believe that Talon Card is actually in The Last Jedi. But the whole concept of the Emperor having cloning tubes and clone bodies, the whole concept of him moving his mind from body to body, I think I agree with Jimmy Mack. That could be a major plot point of Episode 9. But you could flesh it out in The Adventures of Luke Skywalker on streaming. And, of course, we could get Mara Jade. And maybe Luke and Mara don't fall in love, get married, have kids. Okay, we can deal with that. But we could have... I mean, there's so much material that could be developed with that time period between Jedi and Force Awakens. And Sebastian Stan is the guy to do it. For that matter, you could get Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things to be Princess Leia, maybe not in that series, but another one, you know, Princess Leia before the Rebellion kind of thing, or before A New Hope. I don't know. But think about the possibilities here. You could have a Rogue Squadron series, or just have Rogue Squadron as regular characters in the further adventures of Luke Skywalker. You could bring back the Shadows of the Empire stuff, you know, with Black Sun and Prince Xizor and all of that great material. This is a great way, guys. This is an awesome way to reintroduce that Legends material that fans love back into canon. And by doing it, you're going to please fans in a big, big way. You're going to win back a lot of people that you turned away when you wiped out the old EU, the expanded universe, and when, you know, you went a different direction with the new sequels, the sequel trilogy. So anyway, think about that. Would you want to see a further Adventures of Luke Skywalker TV show on the Disney streaming app? And would you want it to be Sebastian Stan? I do. I think that would be a home run, but I want to hear what you think. Send me an email at BigDaddyCool@BigDaddyCool.com. Actually, that's BigDaddyCool@BigDaddyCoolShows.com, and let me know what you think. One last thing. Let's talk about the MCU. So I was right. My prophecy came true. This is why I'm called the prophet of pop culture. Netflix did go ahead and announce the cancellation of The Punisher after this second season, and they announced the cancellation of Jessica Jones. Apparently, Jessica Jones was far enough in development for season 3 that will drop, but that will be the last of the Marvel shows on Netflix. And I know a lot of fans are really upset about this, but it all boils down to this Disney streaming app, which has now publicly said is going to be competition for Netflix. That is what they're taking on. And why would Netflix want to continue to produce content that belongs to their competitor? It makes zero sense, and we'll see new life for those Netflix Marvel characters on the Disney streaming app. Whether they just replay the old shows, whether they develop new material, I think they really need to do a season 3 of Iron Fist with, you know, the new Iron Fist, Colleen Wing. I think that story needs to be finished, but we'll see. Well, so that leaves us with this quandary. You know, what else is coming from the MCU post Endgame? And look, I have no theories about Endgame really to speak of, but post Endgame, post Avengers 4, I have all kinds of ideas and theories. I would love to see Tony Stark become Kang in Endgame. It's been my theory for years that Tony Stark would eventually become Kang the Conqueror, and it could happen in Endgame. Nobody else is talking about that, I don't think, except for me. But who's going to be the big bad after Endgame? Is it going to be Galactus? We might see the Fantastic Four appear in a stinger with Galactus, setting him up as the big bad for Phase 4. But I think it's neither one. I don't think it's going to be Kang as the big bad, and I don't think it's going to be Galactus. I think that the reason Dark Phoenix, the X-Men movie, Dark Phoenix, was reshot and moved back, not once, not twice, but now 3 times moved to after Endgame, is because Dark Phoenix is going to be the big threat of the MCU in Phase 4. She's uber powerful, cosmic level threat. She's the destroyer of worlds. And I think that they moved X-Men Dark Phoenix back because Marvel got control of Fox. They got control of the studio. They went in. They re-edited. Maybe they reshot some scenes. And I think that the X-Men are going to appear in a post-credit scene of Endgame because of the events that happen in Dark Phoenix. That's my theory. I think all of the clues are there. And it would be the easiest, most sensible, logical thing to do. I think Dark Phoenix is going to be the super threat of the MCU for Phase 4. And, you know, it brings in the X-Men, which gives all kinds of opportunity for interaction with Rogue and Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers. It gives us a chance to go out into space to meet the Starjammers, the Shi'ar Imperial Guard. It opens up this huge new universe for the MCU, and it makes the most sense to me. I'd like to know what you think. Shoot me an email at BigDaddyCool@BigDaddyCoolShows.com. And remember, if you like what I'm doing with this podcast, make sure you go on iTunes or Stitcher, give us a review, make it 5 stars, make it good. And if you're out there and you'd like to be a co-host and join me on the Jedi Avenger podcast, shoot me a note. If you have a passion for Avengers comics, Star Wars movies, the MCU in general, Star Wars in general, the Disney properties and pop culture, shoot me a note. Let me know. Let's talk about coming on the show. I could use a co-host. There's only so much I can talk about and think about on my own. So that would be fantastic. Also, while you're at it, check out my book, Tales from the Flip Side, available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, Audible, wherever books are sold. It's The Adventures of Big Daddy Cool and the Bombshell Kittens. It's got time traveling, gangsters, superpowered showgirls, fighting Nazis, vampires, in an alternate reality, 1940 Chicago. It's an autobiography. Check it out. And don't forget our sponsor, Magic Subscription Box, magicsubscriptionbox.com. Use my promo code BDCMagic and take 50% off your first month. All right, guys and gals, that is it for this very first episode of the new Jedi Avenger podcast. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did, tell 200-300 of your closest friends and family to come join the fun. Until the next time, we'll catch you on the flip side.